Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
January 30th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, Adobe Photoshop Lightroom is here. That's right, Adobe Photoshop Lightroom is here, and we are all quite excited about this. I guess you could say, the beta is over, and now we get down to the 1.0 brass tacks of this brand new photo management software from Adobe, and I tell you, it is one slick piece of work, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it today to help you get up to speed with it so that you can think about, is this something that you should bring into your photo workflow? Yes? No? Well, we'll talk about it a little bit and see what you think. Just in case you've been hiding under your tripod for the last year or so, Adobe Photoshop Lightroom is a high-end photo management application. It's a lightweight digital asset manager. It has a heck of a develop module, and it has some really powerful output options. Now, it is in the same category of applications as Apple's Aperture, and maybe there might be a few other out there, although I have to tell you right now, when we look at the whole gamut, you know, everything from import to output and everything you can do in between, right now to me, it looks like Adobe Photoshop Lightroom and Apple's Aperture are really the two heavy hitters. Now, Aperture has been out for a while. It's at version 1.5.2 or so. But Lightroom has been in beta this whole time, and now it's out. So here's the way it's going to work. The application itself has been announced already. That just happened. Now, it doesn't actually ship until February 19th, 2007. February 19th, 2007, that's when you can buy Adobe Photoshop Lightroom and have it shipped. Or that's also when you can download a demo version of Photoshop Lightroom if you haven't played with it yet and really, you know, need to figure out, is this something you should be looking at? Now, Adobe's done some pretty cool things around this, and one of them is pricing. We've all been wondering about the pricing for this application. They're making a special. They call it the Early Adopters Special. And so until April 30th, if you order Adobe Photoshop Lightroom before April 30th, you can get it for $199. $199. Now, after April 30th, it goes to $299. I think this is pretty interesting pricing structure because, remember, a few minutes ago, I said, what's the other application that's sort of in the same ballpark here, sort of the same heavyweight material? It's Aperture, and guess how much Aperture costs? $299. So in terms of the pricing playing field, these two applications are, you know, sitting dead even. The cool thing is, before April 30th, you can get Lightroom for $199, and you can save yourself $100. So if you've been testing the application, if you've been, you know, doing your comparison, you know, been doing all that sort of stuff, then if you're going to make a move, I would make it before the 30th of the month. Now, one of the differences between Lightroom and Aperture is Lightroom is for both platforms, both Macintosh and Windows. Now, you need to be fairly current. For instance, on a Mac, you need a fairly powerful processor. They say that you can go with a G4, but a G5 or an Intel processor, from my experience, would be recommended for this. And you also need a fairly current version of OS X. Maybe the most current version, Mac OS X 10.4. So you've got to be fairly state-of-the-art on your hardware software to run it on a Mac. Now, on the Windows side, you need XP with Service Pack 2 loaded. So, again, that's pretty darn current. We know, you know, Vista's right here, right now. But I think most folks still have XP. And so Lightroom will run on XP, and you need at least a Pentium 4 processor. Now, Lightroom hasn't been certified as of this podcast yet for Vista. However, you know, I anticipate that that will happen before too long. But right now, on the Windows side, you need XP with Service Pack 2 and a fairly new, as new as you can get, Intel processor, at least a Pentium 4. Now, why should you bother with Lightroom or Aperture or any of these photo management applications? Well, let's focus on Lightroom right now because it's Lightroom's day. It's its big announcement. First of all, you have an environment, a digital asset management environment for all of your pictures. So instead of keeping things in the folders spread throughout various hard drives and so forth, you can now organize them in a library structure using Lightroom. Now, Lightroom allows you to have a managed library, or you can keep the files spread out and have Lightroom reference them. And this is the same as an Aperture that gives you both options there, too. But either way, you know, or at least the application knows, Lightroom knows, where all of your files are. So that's a big difference. Now, one of the other things is you have a non-destructive editing workflow for both RAW and JPEG images. That means that when you bring photos into Lightroom and you perform edits, Lightroom isn't actually working on the file itself, the original file. It reads the information from the file, but it actually creates sidecar data, XML data, and then it applies those instructions when you output, when you export, when you do all that sort of stuff. This is great, and again, this is a big part of Aperture, this non-destructive editing. It allows you to put images in, not worry about them, not only in terms of manage them in a digital library, in an asset management sort of way, also not worry in terms of having them somehow compromised through the editing process. So Lightroom, again, is a terrific photo editor, and I have to tell you, one of my favorite parts of Lightroom is the develop module, and they've been working on this thing quite a bit. I'm going to talk a little bit more in detail about the develop module in a bit, but right now it is a place where you can upload your images, rate them, keyword them, develop them, so to speak, process them, and then output them to print or slideshows or web or whatever you want. One of the areas that Lightroom really excels, speaking of this processing thing, is how it handles RAW files and how many different types of RAW files it can handle. It can process right now over 150 RAW files from, you know, different types of everything from Nikons to Canons and you know, some of the more obscure RAW formats that maybe aren't able to be processed in Aperture. And in fact, this version of Lightroom can handle, for instance, the latest RAW files from Nikon for the D40 and the D80, the latest Pentax RAW files. So you're really getting an application that can handle lots and lots of RAW files. Now, during the beta cycle, some people had been concerned about the way that Lightroom processes RAW files compared to Adobe Camera Raw, which is what a lot of people are using. You know, it is the application that is bundled with Adobe Photoshop CS2 and also Elements. And there have been, in the past, some differences in how these RAW files were processed. The good news is that on February 19th, when Lightroom is released, Adobe's also going to release a new version of Adobe Camera Raw 3.7, and it will be compatible with the RAW processor in Lightroom, and so that if you process something in Lightroom and you open it up in Adobe Camera Raw, it should look the same and the other way around too. So this is pretty exciting stuff. Now, it's interesting. You do have controls in Lightroom that you don't have in Adobe Camera Raw. Now, what will happen is if you apply those controls in RAW processing in Lightroom and you open up that RAW file with the XMP sidecar data, Adobe Camera Raw will respect those changes. It will acknowledge them, but you won't be able to further adjust them because obviously there won't be any controls to do that. So even then, they're still compatible, and Adobe Camera Raw will respect the work that you can do in Lightroom, and it should look pretty much the same. Okay, of course, just the fact that I bring up Photoshop always leads people to go, well, do I have to choose or should I choose between the two? By getting Lightroom, do I not need Photoshop anymore? Or should I just stick with Photoshop and Bridge and save myself the $199 with Lightroom? How does that all work together? And actually, Lightroom fits into a overall workflow of Adobe products. For photographers, you know, you use Lightroom to upload your images, to organize them, to rate them, and to do basic image editing, you know, cropping, exposure, color, things like that. However, when you need to do more advanced image editing, compositing, you know, working with layers, things like that, then what you will do is you will round trip to Photoshop, and basically you can designate Photoshop as your external image editor in Lightroom, send it over there, work on Photoshop. When you save your image, then it will come back into Lightroom, and you will have all of your changes there. And then, of course, you return to using Lightroom for output for printing and slideshows and web pages and stuff like that. So what happens is Photoshop, instead of being the tool that you always use to edit your images, it becomes a tool that you use for advanced editing of your images, and it takes a slightly different role in the Lightroom scenario. Okay, now, before I start getting into some of the specific features of this new version of Lightroom, I want to take time out and let's do a little virtual camera club business. First of all, the end of our January assignment is upon us, and the books on Glimmer are closed, or at least they will be probably by the time you listen to this podcast, unless you listen to it right away. Because at the end of January is the end of Glimmer. If you do happen to listen before January is over and you happen to have your Glimmer photo assignment ready and you happen to have not sent it in yet, heaven forbid, now is the time to do it. Get it in before the end of the month and we're going to get you in one fine looking gallery. I'll tell you, Glimmer has shaped up beautifully. Now, you're probably wondering then, okay, if January's over, February has started, and that means we must have a new photo assignment. And guess what? We do have a new photo assignment. That assignment is for February 2007, texture. Yes, all right. We're going to do texture for February 2007. Texture is fun. I love texture, and I love texture in photography. Now, I'm going to give just a little hint around texture right now. And one of the tricks to photography is that if you want to enhance texture in an image on a surface, you have the lighting coming from the side. If you want to flatten texture, if you want to get rid of it, then you tend to have the lighting coming from the front. That's why when you shoot portraits, you generally speaking, especially portraits of, let's say, mom, you generally will want the light coming from the front because you don't really want to enhance the texture on mom's beautiful face. Mom isn't really going to like it very much, and she's probably going to think you're not a very good photographer or that you have a cruel streak that she was always suspicious about. So, you know, lighting from the front downplays texture, lighting from the side enhances it. So, for instance, if you want to shoot that beautiful stucco building that you've had your eye on for months, then, you know, wait until the light is coming from the side, especially good morning light, fabulous stuff, and then you'll be able to pull out all that texture with that good side lighting. So there's a little lighting tip to help you with texture. Texture is our photo assignment for February, and I hope you get working on it right away. I think this will be a dynamite gallery, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what you all send in. I also want to mention I've been getting lots of letters from folks lately, our virtual camera club members, and I want to tell you I really appreciate them, and I find them interesting, and I love corresponding with you. As you may imagine, sometimes I might not be able to respond right away. Sometimes I can, you know, just sort of depends on how things are going at the moment. But I do want you to know that I am dogged in my replying, and that if I don't get to you right away, I promise I will get to you as soon as I can. And I want to keep those conversations going. This is a virtual camera club, and I really appreciate hearing from you. I love your thoughts and ideas and comments. And, you know, sometimes, you know, ideas for photo assignments, for shows, you know, for, you know, doing the next thing on the digital story comes from your correspondence. So thank you very much. I really appreciate all the kind words and all the ingenious thoughts, and keep them coming. As well, keep those grab shots coming, because you know what? They're a lot of fun. And I tell you, I've mentioned this before, you know, a lot of times my favorite day on the digital story is a day that I get to run a grab shot. So keep those flowing. And remember, you can find information about photo assignments and grab shots and how to write letters and all that stuff is on the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com, thedigitalstory.com. Click on the submissions button and you will find everything you need to know about corresponding with your virtual camera club. Now, I want to give a big shout out to the folks over at Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X, makers of Photo Magico. I think a fabulous slideshow software for the Mac only. It is good stuff, and if you want to find out more about it, click on the link. I have a tile right there on every page on the digital story. You can't miss it, and you can find out how to get your hands on Photo Magico. And if you haven't tried it yet, you can download the demo, or you can even try out the new public beta for version 2. It's hot stuff. Take a look at it. And also, big hats off to the folks over at ExpoDisc, expodisc.com. Again, if you want accurate color, if you want your white balance set right, ExpoDisc is the way to go. You use your custom white balance function with the ExpoDisc, and you will get good color in just about any lighting. Fabulous stuff. Guess what? They also have a tile on every page in the digital story. If you want to find out more, click on it, and off you go. Okay, let's get back to Lightroom. There's a few features I want to talk about that I think are just fabulous. Something to, you know, kind of tantalize your taste buds as you're thinking about this application. One of the first ones that really grabs my attention is the ability, when you import your images, now you're either importing them into the Lightroom library, or you're importing them, you know, somewhere on your hard drive where you have Lightroom point to them. Either way, what's really nice about Lightroom is that at import, you can designate a second location, and I would say probably a second hard drive in most people's cases, to import your masters right off the camera at the same time. Now, this is incredible, because what you're doing is, on import, you're creating a automatic backup of your files. So if you're using Lightroom in the field with a laptop and you have an external hard drive, an additional hard drive with you, then you can do one import. When you're done, pull that card out of the card reader, put it in your camera, format it, and go back to shooting, and not worry about only having one copy of your images. You have two copies of your images. I think this is really cool, and it's one of my favorite features in this brand new application we call Photoshop Lightroom. Another new goodie is called the Targeted Adjustment Tool, and you'll find this in the Develop module. And what it allows you to do, you know, Lightroom has some pretty good image editing tools, pixel editing tools built in. Has a very nice tone curves, and it has some really good color management tools. Very intuitive, very easy to use. Now, before, especially using the color management tools, you sort of had to pick, you know, a genre of color, and then you could adjust the luminance and the hue and the saturation. And for the most part, it worked pretty well. It might have not have been the perfect blue of your sky, but you click on the blue and you do the adjusting, and you know what? Your sky looks the way that you want it to, for the most part. Pretty good stuff. But it wasn't that dead-on accurate then that sometimes we wanted, you know, being able to pick the exact color, and you only wanted to make an adjustment to that color and leave everything else in the image alone. Now with this targeted tool, you can do that. Basically, you just, you know, activate the targeted mode. You put the cursor on the color that you want to adjust, and then you adjust the luminance, you adjust the hue, you adjust the saturation, and it only affects the color that you have targeted. This is very, very cool. I'm very excited about this, and I think it's really wonderful having it in an application, you know, that isn't Photoshop, right? I mean, you know, this is a broad tool, and yet you have some really nice high-level image editing tools in there. Now, another thing that they've included along with the targeted adjustment tool, they did put the clone and healing tool in, and we've been clamoring for this all through the betas, and I had heard that yes, we know that's at the top of almost everyone's list. We're going to do the best we can, and they did. They got the clone and healing tool within Lightroom, which means now if you have a little bit of image dust, if you have a few imperfections, that you can clean them up right there in Lightroom. You don't have to round trip to Photoshop. Really nice addition. Really happy to have that among all the other cool tools in the develop module. And again, this is something you didn't see in the beta, but that they have in the 1.0 version. Here's kind of a fun thing that they did. You know, so a lot of us, when we're working with image editing, let's say we're adjusting exposure. So you have the histogram there. You have your exposure adjustment tool, a slider or something like that. And then you have the actual image that you're adjusting. So, you know, you're moving the slider, you're checking the histogram to make sure that, you know, you don't clip any highlights or, you know, any shadow areas. And then you're actually looking at your image too. So you're sort of doing three things, and you have two eyes, and sometimes, you know, you kind of end up being a little bit popcorn-like as you bounce around. So one of the things that they've done in this new release of Lightroom is that you can actually make adjustments to the histogram itself. You can grab, you know, the curves, the shapes, the little mountains, whatever you call them, move them around the way that you want, drag them, you know, more toward the highlight area, or drag them more toward the shadow area, and Lightroom will make those adjustments to your image. So then you've sort of eliminated a step there. You know, you can play with the histogram, make the histogram look the way you want, make the image look the way you want, and sort of bypass the whole slider thing. Now, it's an option, right? I mean, you don't have to do it that way. You can use the way with the sliders if you want. But I think it's kind of a nice touch. And I think there will be some people who prefer to work this way, and I'm happy to see it in the application. Another fun thing they've added, and this actually I think came over from Bridge, which is they have the color labels. So some folks, you know, like to do rating and all that sort of stuff, and then they like to have a color label, like, you know, all these images have a green color label, all these other images have a blue color label. It's a quick way to, you know, sort them and gather them together and all that sort of stuff. Well, they've brought the color labels over from Bridge into Lightroom, and you have those now too. And the cool part is they're compatible with the Bridge color labels, so you open up that image in Bridge, and your color label should be there. So that's pretty fabulous. Again, it's not a huge thing, but it's sort of one of those fun things. And it is a huge thing if you are a fan of color labels and have been using them in the past. Now, with the 1.0 shipment of Lightroom, there aren't any plugins yet, neither for export or import. But it's interesting, they did talk about this on the press conference that I sat in on, and one of the first things that they're going to do once they get Lightroom 1.0 out the door is they're going to start working on the software developer kit, the SDK, for plugin architecture. So it's very high on their list of things to do. I'm not sure when we will see it, but I know they're going to get to work on it right away. Now, you know, the importance of this for you is that once we allow third-party developers to start developing things that you can use in Lightroom, then you expand the application in the directions that you want to expand it. Whereas if Adobe, you know, built every little feature into the application itself, the application would get too big, it'd suffer from bloat. You may want some of those things, and you may not want some of those things. You know, plug-in architecture allows you to choose the functionality that you want, add it to the application, so you have just what you need and no more. So this is pretty cool. Now, I've gotten a taste of this, not only, you know, with Photoshop, of course, because we've been using plugins for a long time in Photoshop, but Aperture with 1.5 allowed us to have export plugins, and it's amazing. Once they open that door, you know, we're seeing almost a new export plugin or a handful of plugins every week, and they're really exciting. And for instance, you can have an export plugin to go directly to Flickr. There's a new one that I'm using that allows me to use YouSendIt. So I can send these really large files via YouSendIt right out of Aperture. That's very useful. And so, you know, we can see with Aperture right now how handy this can be. Adobe is all over that. And it's something we'll see up the road. But so now in Lightroom, in version 1.0, there isn't a plugin architecture. So what you see in Lightroom is what you're going to get, at least for the time being. Just a few more tools I want to touch on before we wrap up for today. You will have stacks in Lightroom also. You will have things like keyword stamping. You know, you're going to have, you'll have pick images in these stacks. These are a lot of things that, you know, we've become accustomed to with Aperture. Lightroom's going to have them also. It seems to work pretty well in Lightroom, although I'm going to play with it more heavily now that, you know, we have the final version out. So a lot of the sort of things that we've become accustomed to in our high-end photo management application will be in Lightroom also. Now, I also know some folks have asked, okay, so the U.S. release is on February 19th. You know, how does this play out for the rest of the world? I believe that on the early adopter program, that will apply also to the French version, the German version, in the Japanese version. I don't have, and it may for more versions, but the information I have is that the French, German, and Japanese versions of Lightroom will also have an early adopter program so that you can get it for whatever the equivalent of $199 is. Okay, so I think that will do it for today. Lightroom is here. The beta is over. Now we've got two heavy hitters in the photo management application world. I'm excited about them both. I really like them both. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say about Lightroom. We'll cover it more. But remember, that's on the computer. Make sure you get out there. Take some pictures. Photo assignment. Texture for February. Grab shots. And I will see you here next week. Thanks so much for stopping by. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.